The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yo, what's going down? How is your life? How is your world? How was your Christmas? You know what I'm saying? Because Christmas is always a big thing in the wrestling world. It's a time to give back to not only the children, but the troops as well. And we're about to give y'all some real dope-ass content in the world of wrestling, talking like nobody else can, especially as two black guys doing their thing in this. So without further ado, it is time for the first Black Champ Podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe to Barbershare Digital, home of First Black Champ. Go ahead and get that merch, man. Christmas is over with, but we still rocking that 10% off for the new year. So go ahead and click that link in the bio. What's that code again?
It is FBC10. FBC10 to get you 10% off.
Yes. So go ahead and get that merch, man. We ain't gonna waste no time because the wrestling world was shocked last night going into this morning. And shocked is putting it mildly. John Huber, we know him as Luke Harper in the WWE or Brody Lee in the Indies. And in AEW, passed away at the age of 41. His wife, along with his friends, fans, supporters, all put out their well wishes on social media last night. Very much by surprise. 2020 has been a roller coaster, to say the least. And this one is no exception. The last time I saw Brody Lee was the dog collar match. At AEW. And I had talked about how I was pissed about that. I was pissed that he got the belt just to lose it when Cody came back from filming a show. But I also was pissed about that because I have been a fan of him since I first saw him in NXT with the Wyatt family, him and Eric Rowan winning the NXT Tag Team Championships. And I've always been a fan of the Bray Wyatt character, and bringing him in was just like, to me, like a match made in hell or heaven, depending on how you want to look at the characters. When did you first get a look at Luke Harper, Brody Lee?
You know, for me, I come in right when they debut on the main roster because I wasn't watching NXT then like that. I'd heard of NXT. I would try to watch clips, but I was still one of those jaded wrestling fans that was like, until you make the main roster, I ain't gonna fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? So keeping it that real for me, but became a very fast fan of Luke Harper as a member of the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family for me is in my personal top five factions of all time. And Luke Harper was always somebody that I just wanted to see win. Like I liked how he was like a one of the traditional throwback wrestlers. Like I throw him in that category of your Barry Windhams and your early Dustin Rhodes and even Stan Hansen and the hardliners and like those guys like big white guys that can just beat you the fuck up. And he was kind of like a new hybrid of that because you could tell he had a touch more of athleticism than those guys. So when I seen him in the main roster as a member of the Wyatt family, I was glued. I was like, yo, these are the guys I want to see. And then even though I wasn't the biggest fan of the Bludgeon Brothers, like as the tag team, like separating from Bray Wyatt, it was still just good to see them do their thing and succeed. Like, and even when he lost like what 20 pounds and came back, like Slim and Trinity was just still beating people the fuck up. And that was always something I always enjoyed with him in general.
Yeah, I compared him, and I know a lot of other people compared him to him, especially once I started looking at old wrestling. And I know today we were supposed to talk about the top 50, but it's like, yo, we got to wait another week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because he was on my top 50. I'll tell you this right now. Luke Harper, Brody Lee was on awesome. He was in my top 50 favorite wrestlers of all time. He reminded me of Bruiser Brody. And I know this is going to get tossed around this week, but if you haven't watched Bruiser Brody, like they looked alike, their mannerisms was similar. Also the Berserker, John Nord, the Berserker. He reminded me of those two wrestlers. And as you eloquently put it, like white men that come in to beat your ass and that's it. We love that because we like brawlers. We like those, but the one thing that I loved about Homie is that he could work with the smaller guys too. And to me, that's when you know you a dope ass big man, because every big man can't work with small people.
Right. Like
you could put Luke Harper in a match with The Undertaker, The Big Show, and he's going to work. But then you put him in a match with Rey Mysterio or Adam Cole or anybody that's like a tad smaller.
Ricochet,
you're going to get a dope ass match. And that to me, that's the key card of a special big man. Because now that means that I'm not going to be relegated to see you wrestling against big people, which is probably going to be a slow prodding match. Like I could see you and then see you get on the top rope and jump. See you jump over the ropes. See you jump through the middle of the ropes. Do drop kicks, you know. But I'll say this, and I think you will agree with me on this. It was scary. Like, I was glad, and I hate to say that I'm glad about a man's death because I'm not, but I was glad to see that his wife went out to say that this wasn't COVID related. Because with a wrestler, a man dying at 41 years old is young, especially when you're 39, I'm 38.
Right.
So, 15, 20 years ago, it would have been old to us. Now, we there.
Yeah, that's literally around the corner. That's less than two solid years away for me.
Right. So, I was happy to see that, hey, this is not COVID related. It was non-related. But also in that same breath, it scared me. Because while it wasn't COVID related, I believe she said on her Instagram page that it was a lung issue. And she thanked the people at the Mayo Clinic. You go to the Mayo Clinic, something wrong. Yeah, to look that shit up. Because the Mayo Clinic is one of the best hospitals specializing in helping people survive in the world. Them John Hopkins. So it was scary considering the health issues that I've had to deal with and considering the health issues that you had to deal with. It was when you hear of wrestlers dying, right, is either old age. Pat Patterson lived a very long life. Mm-hmm. Or it's, you know, drug related, or maybe it was drug related stuff that took time to develop.
Yeah, yeah, drug aftermath.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this one here was just sudden.
Yeah.
Just like that. And that's scary because, you know, as I said, the health issues that I had to deal with, the health issues that you had to deal with, it makes me pay attention to my body a lot more. But then also realizing that this man was married with kids. And even before his passing, you knew how much he was in tune with his family. Mm-hmm. Like he spread it that on social media. And you just saw it, even when he was going through the stuff with the WWE. It's like the blessing is I get to spend more time with my family. Believe one of the reasons why he went to AEW is, you know, it afforded him more time to be with his family. But even within someone's death, you'll find like one or two people that just be like, you know, condolences, and that's it. Like you could tell it was some friction. I ain't seen not one person where you could tell with the fake condolences. That man touched everybody he worked with, he was in the ring with, that he connected with, and even looking at some of the ones that our fathers and our family people, like Kofi Kingston talked about how, you know, every WrestleMania, him and Harper, Brody Lee would connect, and their families would connect. Kevin Owens talked about that. Everybody talked about that. You look at all of the tributes and you see where that man's head was at. So even with his loss, you feel for his family's loss, as you should, and you start to realize what we lost here. We lost more than a wrestler. We lost somebody who clearly knew where his heart lied. And you clearly knew what he was doing it for. And you lose them, the people you don't lose at 41.
Yeah.
Like them, the people we don't have this conversation about. And we are, and it sucks. Like it truly sucks. And as you see, I'm not even talking about him as the wrestler no more. I'm talking to him, talking about him like I know him.
Right, right.
Like I'm talking to him like that's the homie from down the street. Because you also start to realize, you also start to think, like, we enjoy this shit. We enjoy wrestling. We enjoy what we see in the ring. But it's a whole nother life outside of it. And the fact that the last time I saw homie wrestle was in the dog collar match. I think he made like one more appearance after that, like the next week. But then you realize, like, even I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, where's Luke? Where's Brody Lee at? Like, who's running the dark order?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Man, Brody Lee was chilling, but John was fighting a battle that we knew nothing about.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just eye-opening to me that people go through things just like you to check on yourself, check on your body, but also that, and it's crazy because I watched Soul last night, the Disney flick with Jamie Foxx. And it's wild of the connection that you get. And it's definitely a movie to watch. Definitely watch it with Layla. You will get some gems out of it too. Cause I think me and the wife got more gems out of it than Trey did. But you live your life trying to figure out your purpose. And we deal with this. We talk about this a lot. You live this life of yours doing all of these things to try to find your purpose. And sometimes you get tunnel vision where you are thinking about the purpose, what you want to do with this, how you want to profit and recoup everything, you're doing all this, but it's tunnel vision. That sometimes when you get in that mode, you forget about all of the beautiful shit around you. Mm-hmm. Because you're so focused on that. And you can do that, and at a sudden moment, it's done.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm not talking about Luke, but when you see the movie, you understand how somebody gets a second chance and you start looking at things around you. You start mm-hmm. talking to people and you're like, oh, I didn't know you was into this. And I didn't know you was into that. And then you start realizing stuff. So I don't want to tell the movie. But but the reason why I bring it up is because this man clearly had a love for pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And a love for being in that ring and entertaining us.
Mm-hmm.
But it clearly wasn't his purpose, because everything that you see around his family, his purpose was his family. But he was still able to look around and smell the roses and talk to his homies and talk about life and talk about family and talk about things other than just wrestling shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just gave me more of a reason to enjoy what I do here, but just to enjoy life. This man is 41 years old and he's gone.
Yeah.
And yeah. It just gives you more of a reason, more of a reason to pay attention to yourself, but more to the effect of enjoy this time while you got it, because it is short. It don't last. And even if you feel like you have a purpose and it's not happening as quickly as you want it to, enjoy the process and still be able to enjoy things around you. And those are the people who are living full lives, where you might think that they leaving you too early. Mm-hmm. They might be leaving right on time. Because still at the end of the day, I believe that God don't make no mistakes. You might think it might not be a perfect time, a right time or whatever, but I do believe that God don't make no mistakes. And I do believe he do things for a reason. If I didn't, I wouldn't be saying none of this and I wouldn't be the way that I am now, but it's definitely an eye-opener to me to enjoy the process, to enjoy things a lot more, to breathe and realize that it's more to life than certain things. That's just me on my soapbox, because when a 41-year-old man dies, we get confused. But when you look at social media and you look at everybody from Big E and Kofi and and Bray, of course, Kevin Owens, Sasha, Charlotte, Triple H, Stephanie.
Maddie.
When you think of all of those things, but just, I believe this time last year or a little bit before that, we was wondering when they gonna let homie go.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were wondering about. When they gonna let him go, or when they gonna do something with him. Mm-hmm. Or even before that, when Bray was going up against Randy Orton in that feud and Luke started doing this thing, he was like, yo, they gonna put him in the title match or something?
Yeah.
And we're getting pissed because we thought we're not thinking he getting his just due.
Right.
Yeah. And all the while, he was probably like, well, why this is frustrating? I got my family. I got my wife. I got my kids. I get to chill out with Brody. I get to chill out with them. So y'all be upset. That's cool. I feel you. Thank you for your support. But I'm okay.
Yeah.
He clearly had his eyes on more than one thing. So
Yeah.
I'm off my soapbox. it's again weird to see a 41-year-old man die, a 41-year-old man that you thought was healthy because of what you saw him do inside the ring. But he was clearly fighting something that we knew nothing about. And I won't even say that he lost that battle. He just transitioned to something greater. Yeah. So prayers and condolences to his family, to his wife, to his kids, to his friends, to his family, and all of the people that he connected with in the ring, including me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, this is unfortunately for the wrestling world, we got a chance to see two extremes that are, like you said, confusing, like with Chad Gasper early this year, you know, rescuing his son, unfortunately passing. He was 41, 42, I believe. And then now we got Brody Lee. You know, not thank God for natural causes, but man, you know, it sucks to lose wrestlers through substance abuse or anything like that. So, yeah, man, it's difficult things to process. 2020 has been a hell of a year. Only thing that I'll say, because I don't want to get too deep into this and fuck up the whole mood of what the podcast will be. Absolutely. But if 2020 didn't ignite in you a greater purpose than yourself, then I don't think you've really sat and read anything or you've experienced anything. And I just solely say that just from the journey that I've had to go through in the last 12 months. Speaking of lungs, like, you know, I had pneumonia on my left lung just 6 weeks ago. You know, I was operating at 40% capacity, and the doctor was like, I'm glad you came in today. Like, I'm glad somebody dropped you off and you got here today. I'm like, I didn't think I was that jacked up. So then the see a situation like John Huber's is, man, it's just, be glad that you're here. Be grateful that you're here, and that you get another day to do whatever it is that you do. Make the most of your time. Make the most of the time with your family, and do what you need to do in every aspect of your life. I'll just leave it there and we can move on.
Well, let's move on to something a little bit more happier. We got another black champ.
Yes, and
definitely what we expected.
Tennessee Bomber, so I can't fucking see it. You bitch ass nigga. Rotten hell, you dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Camp is in the Nashville suburbs.
Yeah.
So while he, and if you don't know, it was a bombing yesterday, right?
Christmas Day.
It was Christmas Day.
Yeah, so Christmas Day, some guy wanted to be fucking diehard and try to blow up fucking downtown buildings on Christmas Day. He injured three people. Destroyed a lot of property, blew up himself in the process, but most importantly, more importantly than him, he knocked the fucking AT&T tower down. So now nobody in the city of Nashville and the surrounding suburbs has cable, phone, or internet service because whoever this fragmented person is now decided that he was going to blow up buildings on 2nd Ave. In downtown Nashville. The eerie part about that as well is that the weekend before Thanksgiving, Rob and Sam came down and they were standing on 3rd Ave at the Hyatt down there. And I think the shit happened like literally the next block over and like down. So, yeah. So, yeah, man. Absolutely. So all I was able to do was get on Instagram and see Big E with the title, which is a great moment. I got to catch up on everything. I can't watch shit. I haven't been on the internet since, what, Wednesday or Thursday night. So that's what it's been for me. So.
Well, basically, that was a lumberjack match.
Okay.
Which, let me say, I like lumberjack matches is like top, like lower tier matches to me. Like, I hate lumberjack matches.
Okay. I used to love lumberjack matches when I was a shorty.
I hate lumberjack matches, fam. Maybe the worst lumberjack match I saw, and I forgot what In Your House it was. It was one of the first five, though, was Diesel versus Psycho Sid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that, you know, like, we know why that one was bad, though. Because how y'all gonna keep 2 7-footers in the ring? That's supposed to be able to beat up all of y'all.
Like Eric Watts. What was that? I forgot the name that he was the tag team he was in. It was like something Team 2000.
Yeah, Techno Team 2000.
Yeah, Techno Team 2000. Like they was there because that's the first. I was like, Eric Watts is in WWF. And I went over my cousin's crib to watch it. And that was one of the worst pay-per-views that I ever watched in my life. I apologized to them after that. I was like, man, my bad, G. Like, I'm sorry. Y'all shouldn't have watched this shit. This shit's terrible. But I've never really seen a ladder match that made me go, oh, shit. So I'm glad I knew the outcome. And okay. Not because it was spoiled. Mm-hmm. I knew they were. I knew Kevin Owens because that night Kevin Owens wrestled against Roman Reigns. I knew Roman Reigns wasn't losing. Even though I picked him to win at TLC, I picked him to win knowing that. I mean, I picked Kevin Owens to win at TLC knowing he was going to lose that shit. I'm just going off a history of how they do pay per views. I knew. Come on. I even said, like, I'm picking this knowing I'm going to be wrong. They had the tag team, the women's tag team match with Charlotte Flair and Asuka versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair and Bayley and Carmella. We know Asuka and Charlotte ain't losing that shit. And the main event was Big E and Sami Zayn. So you knew what was going to happen.
I
was tired too. It was Christmas. These kids whooped my ass that day. I'm going to sleep. I know Big E's going to win. I'll look at it tomorrow on social. Big E, I'm tired. I'm sorry I ain't watched the coronation of you winning your second one. Because I do have some issues. I don't want this to be just all sunshine and rainbows here. Because it's something I'm just tired of happening. Okay. But I knew Big E was going to beat Sami Zayn, and yes, he beat him. 1, 2, 3. In the lumberjack match for the Intercontinental Championship. What blew me, and I let me say this again, I hate when this shit happens. But he won, and then, you know, niggas decided to put him on their shoulders and celebrate and shit.
Yeah,
like when Ron Simmons won the world championship.
Yeah, that's too much already for the
Intercontinental. Sami Zayn wasn't even that much a diabolical character that he pissed off everybody in the back in order for y'all to celebrate him losing to Big E. To me, and I know somebody's gonna listen to this pod and be like, "Yo, Bang, you thinking too much of it." And I probably am. But I get tired of the celebration of people winning titles. Especially when it's not like you beating Brock Lesnar and being he wasn't an underdog against Sami Zayn. He wasn't. Right. He's bigger than Sami Zayn. Right. He's stronger than Sami Zayn. He's faster than Sami Zayn. This is not like Sami Zayn all of a sudden grew and became Andre the Giant in 1976. This is Sami Zayn, who is who should be bigger than what he is. But at the best, they have him as a comical champion. That's not an upset with Big E beating him. So Otis ain't got to put him on his shoulder to celebrate.
Right.
No, he could have just... The streamers didn't have to come down.
They had streamers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You would have thought it was WrestleMania 36 and a half.
So question, since you're saying all that, and you mentioned Otis, Who were the people in the ring when he won the belt?
It was all of the faces.
Okay.
It was basically like, all of the mid-card faces.
That's what I wanted to.
Because you know them are the people. Because you know them are the people who are always the lumberjacks.
Right. But that also, like, when I was trying to piece together with that was this everybody hoping to get the push that Big E is getting now, or was it some people around him that helped validate him?
Well, he was on Otis' shoulder, so that's somebody who probably wish I had that push.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? So I say that because I think this happened for two reasons. One, because they want us to know that the fix as well as the push for Big E is officially in. And two, I think personally that the WWE is going out of their way to show that they are not going to shit on their black superstars moving forward. That's okay.
I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't need you to stand on the shoulders of white people.
But the symbolism. The symbolism. Like, let's go to Coco Beware from wherever his home is and see how he feels about this.
I mean, okay, so the other part of it, I'm glad that you said that, because the other part of it is that he's a two-time Intercontinental Champion. He hasn't held the Intercontinental Championship for 7 years.
Right.
But again, if it was Wade Barrett he beat, I'm with it. I would have rather him got the belt without the pomp and the circumstance of him winning said belt.
I got you.
But, but to your point, and I think this is great storylines. I am now in full belief that in 2021, we're going to get Big E versus Roman Reigns. I'm in full belief with that now. Because Paul Heyman has taken to putting Big E over subtly on Talking Smack like nobody has. He wins the Intercontinental Championship, and in full paraphrase mode, Paul Heyman is basically like, yeah, look, I told you, this is the first step for you being on the radar of Roman Reigns. It's the first step. Like, early in the year, if somebody would have said, if I would have went to Roman Reigns and said, hey, what do you think about Big E? And we might, no, if Roman Reigns said to me, what do you think about Big E? Like, he's a tag team wrestler, one of the best in the world, you know what I'm saying? But he's a tag team. But look at you now, Intercontinental Champion. First step on the road to being a megastar. First step on the road to being up there with Roman Reigns. And I'm listening to this, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is some dope-ass subtle storytelling.
Yeah.
If this is true, if this is going where I think it's going, and I'm not saying that it's going WrestleMania. I ain't saying that. Not even giving it a time frame. But it is, because I'm going to give two options here, which should be easy if me saying too. Given two options here. This is definitely either setting up a Big E Roman Reigns in 2021, or this is setting up for Paul Heyman to have another hand and having a heel Big E. And I'm only bringing the heel Big E up, not saying that he's going to turn heel today, tomorrow, Royal Rumble, none of that shit. But we live in a business where you could be face today and heel tomorrow. And Big E ain't been a heel since the last heel version of The New Day. I'm not saying it's ever going to happen. I'm just giving options here. That man putting over Big E in the nicest way possible. Shook his hand, all that shit. this ain't Kevin Owens when they was going back and forth, and he Kevin Owens like, no, you ain't got to worry about it. I could sit next to him. I'm not gonna do anything to him. Like, no, Big E sitting next to this man, getting all of the accolades, shake his hand. Then I think about Big E, the heel, or even trying to figure it out. The five count Big E. The put your hand in chalk, and him doing handicap matches to show his strength. Even though that nigga like my height, he's still a powerful man.
Yeah, no, he's strong as shit.
With a powerful strong set, he's a power lifter. And all I'm thinking about is, wow, we cannot look at this and say, man, sooner or later, they're going to set up him and Roman Reigns and Big E. I will not remove the fact that Big E, to me, was a dope heel. He has a heel presence. He can move like a heel, talk like a heel, walk like a heel. Because he's probably one of your more charismatic wrestlers, but one of your characters that can talk and talk his shit. If you don't believe me, just look at the Sheamus feud. He could very well switch places with Sheamus and been a heel.
I'm just not
going to look at it and think Roman Reigns, Big E, big money. Hey, man, Big E can go like a heel too. And it would not surprise me if sometime 2021, when Roman is probably taking a break, depending on what's going on, Big E takes his place. That's all I'm saying.
I dig it. While listening to you talk all this, all I could think about is Big E should watch a lot of Dusty Rhodes. Because in my mind, Dusty Rhodes was trying to be who Big E naturally is. So I don't want to say Big E will be Black Dusty Rhodes. I'm going to say that Big E is the wrestler that Dusty Rhodes had in his own mind. He has the voice to cut the promos like Dusty. He definitely has the mobility and the athleticism. And he'll bring an uncanny amount of strength to that dynamic. And I know for maybe WWE lifers, you only know Polka Dots Dusty. And that's unfortunate. But even in that, there were still a lot of great moments that still transpired, like Dusty Rhodes make the shit work. He's in a lot more memorable feuds in that early 90s pocket than we probably give credit for. I mean, hell, I think he's in one of the best ones of all time with him and the Million Dollar Man, but even him and the Big Boss Man. And I think about those, but then you also just, when you just go back into the archives of Dusty Rhodes in his heyday in the 70s, it's like, yo, Big E can do that. Like, Big E can be that if he wanted to be. And now he's in the space and time in wrestling where Black wrestlers are appreciated. And, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to Virgil him. They're not going to Mr. Hughes him. They're, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has a real shot. And nobody doesn't have Dusty Rhodes in their top 10, 20, or 50. And I think that Big E really needs to watch and channel that, because I don't, he slips into Baptist preacher just because that's what he does. And he's still so New Day because that's what worked. But I believe if he just took all of his off days to just watch Dusty Rhodes, that Roman Reigns Big E match is money. And that, and it is WrestleMania worthy, because keeping it a beam, this is the first Black Champ podcast, and we love Black Champs, and we love people of color succeeding, because we respect the Samoans too. They like 1A Black people for us on this show. I don't see Roman Reigns, Big E doing anything bigger than Money in the Bank or SummerSlam right now. But it's because Big E, yeah, he's not the guy that I have to see his solo matches yet. He's just not that guy yet.
And you know what? That's why I think the Paul Heyman dynamic is so important. Because you're right. And the crazy thing about it is that I went to sleep on that match knowing that he was going to win that belt. I don't see Sami Zayn in bad matches.
Yeah. Right.
So I could have stayed up to watch that match if I was that invested.
Yes.
Now, to your point, I could see this being a SummerSlam match because I think it's so many ways that we could go with Roman right now. And I know that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. Because I think the reset has no choice but to come. And maybe Big E is being geared up for the reset. And just in case there's not enough people to put in the stands for Vince McMahon to want a Roman Reigns Rock match, because I think that's the only reason why that match don't happen at this coming WrestleMania. Is the amount of people in the, because you don't want to put, let's be real, you don't want to put Roman Reigns versus The Rock in a arena that you can only put 15,000 people in there.
True. Especially if you're Vince McMahon.
Like,
The Rock has the shortest resume to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, depending on who you ask. Like, it's insane. And you want all of those casual ass motherfuckers in one spot going crazy.
Yes.
For if you smell what The Rock is cooking.
You can't do that match with 15,000 people in Raymond James Stadium. You can't. I know somebody's you're the fuck you can't. No, you can't.
No.
Right, that like you could think about it like this, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. You cannot put that, even though it's Detroit.
Right.
The Silver Dome held a nice amount of people. You don't have Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania in the main event at WrestleMania 3 at Kaminsky Park.
Right.
You don't
put that bitch at the Honda Civic Center either.
Right. You need everybody in that bitch. You need to fill it up. You bring it to Dallas and bring it into New Cowboys Stadium, which holds legit 100,000 people. You do that there. Yes.
Yep.
You don't, but 100,000 people got to be in that bitch.
Yeah, right.
You don't bring it to the United Center.
Yeah, sorry.
So if that's the case, you know goddamn well that you don't hold that match in COVID time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm going to, unless Florida says we're open by April, that match ain't happening.
Yeah.
So I want to transition.
I do believe they will.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I hope shit. I hope.
Florida and Georgia, man. The Florida Georgia line, shout to them. Right. They don't give a fuck.
Right.
And I don't even think they're reporting testing.
Oh, like, Texas too. I think Vince McMahon and Jerry Jones can have a talk and be like, hey, we're gonna do this here. We're gonna open this bitch up. What you say, Vince? All right.
You know what I'm saying? He'll be like, yeah, we'll just give out face shields. We'll have face shield, man.
With the Cowboys, it'd be a face shield, but basically it'd be a box. Hey. Think about it like this. You got a shield in the front, a shield on the side.
Yeah.
On every seat. So it's almost like you're in a box.
Yeah. Hey, yo, if anybody's going to figure it out, Mark Cuban or Jerry Jones is going to figure that out. There's no way that
I think we already figured it out. Look, I think we've already figured out. when you watch the NFL, or you, I mean, the basketball commentators at the crib.
Yeah.
But if you watch football, them niggas got the they got the shield. It'd be hey, I'm Joe Buck and I'm Troy Aikman.
Right.
So if you can do that, if you could do that and say that shit, I'm not saying they got to get to them seats. I get it. They got to get to them bitches. But if you have a shield, a plastic shield in front and on the sides, and still mandate people got to use their masks, look, man.
Man, listen. Just alert us to the fiberglass and the plexiglass manufacturers, because stocks are going the fuck up. And we need in just for talking like this on this fucking show.
You goddamn right. So we digress. We digress. So Kevin Owens loses and that hour match of SmackDown. Yeah, great match. And that hour of SmackDown did 4 million.
Wow.
I know we hate talking about ratings, but shit. Yeah. Roman Reigns, they just put him on where you want the ratings to go.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens too, because I don't think that match, I don't think it does 4 million with just Roman. Like, you have to have a good hand. And them two is going to give you a good match again. Like, you rarely see Kevin Owens in a bad match. Okay.
Right.
But it's clearly that they're moving on from Kevin Owens. Yeah. You know, a steel cage match is usually the end of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So... Daniel Bryan is the first man to announce that he is entering the Royal Rumble after his match with Jey Uso. So now we're officially, once you get that person that says, hey, just let you guys know, I am putting my name in the hat. Mm-hmm. I am going to enter the Royal Rumble. Like, nigga, we didn't know.
Right.
We know. Duh, motherfucker. But with Bryan, Daniel Bryan putting his name in the hat as the first person. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking, okay, he ain't gonna wrestle him at Royal Rumble. Because I definitely thought they had to peg Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck Roman Reigns gonna, at Royal Rumble? Who the fuck Roman Reigns gonna wrestle at Royal Rumble?
Mm. The Royal Rumble. Where we sitting right now, man, I don't know. But you know what? I didn't expect this Kevin Owens Roman Reigns to develop either. Like, to me, it looks like Roman Reigns is going to pick his spot. I mean, this kind of goes like in the realm of how, you know, Big E got into the mix and how the promos are being cut for him. Like, oh, no, you know what? You're on your way. Like, not yet. Not you. Not yet. But, you know, but it's coming soon. And then Kevin Owens kind of got singled out, but then kind of made himself more than visible at the same time. For the Royal Rumble, part of me believes that the storyline with Jay picks back up and it's Jimmy, even though I have no idea what his health status is going into the Royal Rumble specifically.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
Because there is nobody else per se. Like, every name I thought of is actually on Raw. Every single name I thought. I mean, and it's not Otis. Otis, Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble doesn't mean anything. That should just be an elimination piece, if anything. Sorry, fans, it will not be Cesaro. I know y'all want to just say Cesaro just because. And respect to Cesaro, but it won't be him. AJ's on Raw.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out a name because it's the only name that I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
This is if Daniel Bryan stays and says, you know, I'm entering the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Goldberg?
Oh, yuck. Fucking yuck, bro.
Seth would be back. at the end of the year, Seth will be back for the first SmackDown of the year. And for some strange reason, I believe he's going to be heel. He's not going to change all that stuff. But remember, and I said this before, I think we're more likely to see Seth Rollins and Big E than anything else. I see the seed starting to be planted maybe when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm talking about Royal Rumble, the actual pay-per-view here, not who wins it.
Right.
But when I look at the roster and who might make sense, and Roman is making people right now. He made Jay.
Yeah,
absolutely. He made Kevin Owens again.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the only person I could think of the way that the roster is constructed and whose heels and whose faces and shit is Goldberg.
I mean, it is another piece of the family angle, because now Vince just gives Goldberg victory so his son can say that he watched his dad wrestle past his prime. So there's that, you know. And then they did just do the Goldberg. Did he do like a chronicle with it? I haven't watched it.
They was basically going back and forth, like, Roman Reigns. I mean, not Roman Reigns, but Goldberg was talking his shit, and then talking about the spear and like who's the better spear and all that shit.
My dude,
But look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's look at this list. Like, Aleister Black, no. Chad Gable, no. Daniel Bryan would be the person, but he's entering the Royal Rumble,
Some tell me that he won't wrestle twice.
Yeah, hell no. Hell, something's making me believe that he might win a Royal Rumble. Jimmy or Jay, not to me. I'll explain in a second. King Corbin is a heel. Lars Sullivan, I don't know what the fuck. Is he still going to be around? I don't know. Rey Mysterio?
Oh, shit.
What?
It is going to be Rey Mysterio. It is. Motherfucker. It's going to be Rey fucking Mysterio. Yes. Because, and Dominic is going to be the reason why it happens. God. It's Sunday. I'm not going to say that.
Explain. You got to explain this shit.
Tribal chief, right? Tribal chief didn't already beat the shit out of his family. And he didn't already beat the shit out of another family man, right? So far it was the head of the table. Now, and then it was like, hey, I know you fight for your kids too, but fuck all of that. I'm getting you the fuck out of here, Kevin. Now, the next family angle is, oh, you got your whole family out here. Oh, so I get to whoop your ass in front of your family and let them know that I'm the ruler of this shit, even though you've been here longer than me? Awesome. I can't wait to do it. I'll show your son how to be a real chief around here. I'll show your son that has more potential than you how to really do this shit, because you've never been here. You've never done what I've done. So let me whoop your ass in front of your son and let him know who he should really model himself after if he wants a career in the WWE. That's what it is. It's going to be Rey fucking Mysterio and Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns has to teach Dominic how to truly dominate in the world of professional wrestling, because he's been watching him and he has potential, but he's not there yet. And listening to his pops ain't going to get him there. That's what the fuck the storyline is. Yep. Fuck. That's my guarantee too. Fuck. I don't want to see this shit. Sorry. Love to Rey Mysterio, though.
I hate you, fam.
That's, Hey, I hate myself at this moment. It's got to be Ray. The family angle has to take on one more before WrestleMania. It has to. And that's the one. The guy with his whole fucking family on wrestling the entire year. They've been on Raw and SmackDown. His whole fucking family is there.
And it starts by him not acknowledging, like, Dominic or somebody, not or Aaliyah not acknowledging Roman Reigns as he walked past.
Yep. That is it. Get Kayla's mic hot. Because that's who. Wait, no, Kayla's only on Raw, ain't she? No, she's SmackDown. She's SmackDown talking to Kayla. Yeah. Kayla's mic will be hot. And he'd be like, did he just disrespect us? Did he not see that we out here? He's just walking by with his family like that?
And then they could all do the angle where it's 3-on-2 as a family now, which that's how Jimmy could be reintroduced.
Yep.
Because then who was that? Michael Cole and is saying, hey, so it looks like somebody got the upper hand. It ain't 2-against-1 now.
Mm-hmm.
You got Rey Mysterio. You got Murphy. Mm-hmm. I was about to call him Murphy. You got Murphy. And you got Dominic. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Oh, Super King. Boom. It's Jimmy Uso.
Yep. Because he's family first, too. And that's his little brother in there. By 9 minutes, but it's still his little brother, you know. So,
I don't know what y'all think this is, Mysterios, but you remember, we the first family of wrestling.
Yeah.
We run this. My cousin is the head of the table, and we gonna make sure he's straight. So I don't know. Yeah, damn. Yeah. If this not, and I even hate what I'm about to say right now, but if this is not, we just made one hell of a storyline. That should be, yeah. Oh, man. We just made one hell of a storyline. Yeah. Damn it, though.
Yeah, yep.
Damn it, man.
Hey, it's right on brand for Roman, too. Like, this is right on brand.
Yeah, this is.
And the Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble is a great spot for Rey Mysterio to get his shit off.
Yeah,
it's a nostalgic pay per view for us. You know what I'm saying? And we personally love the Royal Rumble match, but you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, a title match for your dominant champion to kick off the new year. Realistically, who's better than Rey Mysterio for that?
Yeah. And this is like the pay-per-view that the title don't change. God damn it, man. Shit.
That's who it is.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move over to Raw.
Let's do that.
Is it clear that we are about to get Sheamus versus Drew? Or do you believe that they're going to add in Keith Lee into the front?
You know what? I think they're going to do Sheamus versus Drew, because even though he's the two-time WWE champion, they are still trying to book him in memorable feuds, not memorable matches.
Okay.
And I think, honestly, Keith Lee, I just don't want to see him in these matches where we don't expect him to win. Like at this capacity.
Yeah.
But everything about Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, it honestly makes sense when we truly dissect what's happening on specifically Raw and with him. Like they've done the whole hey, we're buddies. Hey, remember back when we were in the UK wrestling? Hey. And then it was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, who watched that shit? But
back when I was 180 pounds, mate.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Then they do the encouragement and, oh, I would have helped you. I should have helped you. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, let's tag up. Like, they're doing everything, even the mistaken hit. Like, it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And what I think happens is, what I believe is like, well, I'm having the vision of Bob Backlund in my mind when I say this. Like, remember when Bret Hart beat Bob Backlund and then he kind of looked at his hands and was like, I can't believe I let this young motherfucker beat me like that. And then he started choking his ass out. I think Sheamus is going to be all buddy-buddy. It's going to be all good. They're going to have a sportsman-like match. Sheamus is going to lose, spaz, and beat the shit out of Drew McIntyre. So they got to do it again at Fastlane.
No, 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 no. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. No, I'm about to fuck up your prediction. Let me just Google this to make sure. Let me Google this to make sure. Reset. Reset the pod. Reset the pod.
Okay, reset.
No. Hit him with the this is the first black champ. Blah blah blah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, my bad. Hey, what's going on, y'all? How are you all doing? This is the first black champ podcast. I'm exclusively on the Barber's Chair Network. This is the place where you get to see two young, vibrant, and willing to learn black men talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So make sure you are tuned in. We are everywhere on the Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We are on YouTube, Google Play as well. And a couple other platforms that you might not even be checking out, like the Stitchers, Speakers. Well, let's go.
If you're right, the current part of the storyline is the Miz is trying to get his money in the bank reinstated. If you're reinstated. Right.
Oh, wow. What happened?
Yes. So... the night after, the night after TLC, you know, the Miz was sad and shit. He apologized to AJ Styles. AJ Styles was like, you fuck up, you'll fuck up and all that shit. Miz go through all this shit crying and stuff. You know, I just want y'all, like, you guys don't respect me and all this shit, whatever. And I haven't had a world title shot in 14 years and all types of shit, right? But if you remember the TLC match, who gave the referee the money in the bank?
So technically, so they did count that. I was trying to catch her all to see if that counted. And then it did.
So, almost spoke and was like, and he the one who cashed in. So the Miz was like, wait a minute. So technically, I ain't cash in shit. I want my money in the bank back. So it's not been no official ruling or nothing like that, but the Miz is jockeying for his money in the bank back. So with your prediction, if that happens and the Miz gets the money in the bank back, the Miz is winning at Royal Rumble. Because Sheamus will whoop his ass.
Yeah.
Sheamus is intertwined. Hey, man, you killing it today, fam. You killing it. You came up with two storylines that just sound like it's going to come true.
Because I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to ask that because I haven't watched Raw yet. I usually watch it like on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Got no fucking internet. But yeah. No, I really do believe that it's going to be sportsmanlike conduct to that three count. And Sheamus is going to get up, smash Drew McIntyre out. Hey, and then, to your point, there you go. If the reinstatement happens, Miz will be the champ by WrestleMania. By the end of the Royal Rumble,
he will lose it at Fastlane. He will lose it in the Elimination Chamber match.
Oh yeah, Yeah.
But
yeah.
Who does he lose still it to? Though.
Ah. Right. And does Morrison make the chamber? Yeah.
Does Morrison feel some type of way of being the comedic sidekick of the Miz too?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. And by no means do we think that Miz versus Morrison should be a WrestleMania championship match. We're not saying that at all.
that could be one of the storylines in the Battle Royal.
Right. They have friction. They were such good buddies. well, they're eliminated now by Braun Strowman.
Wow. So this has kind of turned into a Royal Rumble prediction show. So right now we got Rey Mysterio versus Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. So let's go tag team match here. Let's go tag teams here. Okay. If the prediction is correct, I got the Usos versus the Street Profits for the tag team championship.
Yeah, we need that too.
Because they coming in smoking. I don't have them. And matter of fact, I'll go further in saying this. I have it in a three-way dance. It'd be the Street Profits versus Dominic and Buddy Murphy versus the Usos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think they have a grudge match, tag team match.
Yeah. Because, you know, and to your point, I think even though obviously we haven't seen it, but I think Street Profits Usos is WrestleMania worthy.
See, like, so here's what we're going. See, this is where we're going. We're killing it today. Because the Usos win the tag team titles, but the Street Profits now have to chase them.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Street Profits got to chase the champion. Mm-hmm. Which sets up WrestleMania, Street Profits, Usos. Fuck with them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Look at us. Find us now.
Yeah.
which I believe it, on the flip side for Raw, I believe we get Hurt Business and New Day again. Which I don't mind.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. You gotta get the 10-time champ.
If they do that match, because remember, the Royal Rumble is probably going to be an hour and a half itself.
Yeah, true.
An hour and a half itself. So some matches are just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the tag team match on SmackDown happens.
Mm-hmm.
Would not be shocked if they don't, but we'll just put it up in there just because.
Mm-hmm.
The women's championship. Go ahead.
Oh, no, because you were still doing matches. But I was going to say, I'll tell you what, if they are light on the matches for the Royal Rumble, this might be the greatest fast lane ever. Like, and it's not even fucking close. Like, it's not close. Because the matches that they can set up in that window, it's like, oh, shit. Like, a fast lane is finally not about to be the Elimination Chamber in them. Like, it's officially on the
mountain. All right, so let's go to these women. Let's go to the women's championships. Now, mind you, it just popped up. We're doing Royal Rumble predictions. But on the flip of this, you know, if they were to do these matches, because we do know, like, the Royal Rumble is like an hour and a half, but they have, like, the matches and all. They're going to have matches, too. But it's sometimes not a lot. But if they do, they're impactful. So do you think... Mm-hmm. Do you think they put a women's title match at the Royal Rumble on either side? Because I think Asuka and Charlotte is WrestleMania.
Yeah. And excuse me, I think it is, and I'm off top. I'm letting y'all know right now, my pick is the Riot Squad, because the Riot Squad is just good enough and surprising enough to make Asuka and Charlotte get friction over losing to them. And that sets up WrestleMania.
Wait a minute. So you're saying Asuka and Charlotte versus the Riot Squad for the tag team championships. The Riot Squad wins.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yep. Yep.
And Charlotte will still be in the Royal Rumble. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
And even the thing with that, I mean, Asuka Charlotte again. I mean, hell, didn't we kind of pick for either Bayley or Bianca Belair to win the Royal Rumble anyway?
Well, I got Bayley winning the Royal Rumble.
So that's your SmackDown match there.
There you go. Oh, look at us. Look at us.
Because Bayley or Bianca is my pick. I haven't nailed it down yet. But Bayley, a SmackDown woman is winning the Royal Rumble this year, though. For sure.
No.
For sure.
Bayley. I forgot. I'm tweaking. Yeah. I got Bayley winning the Royal Rumble and setting up Sasha Bayley at the Royal Rumble. But if Asuka and Charlotte is, you don't have a women's champ, so you can have a women's. Look, we just called it right there. So I got Sasha versus Bianca Belair at the Royal Rumble.
Hey.
I got it. You know what? Triple threat match. I got a triple threat match because I believe that Carmella is going to find her way in that match somewhere. So I have a triple threat match.
I got you. I honestly think Carmella is going to run their course by the Royal
Rumble. Possibly.
They might. They don't do chambers. They do chambers matches for women. She'll be there.
Okay. Yeah. They have no choice.
I think the next season for Carmella is what it is.
Okay.
Like I think that's when she really get her shit off because right now it looks like they are all about making sure that we know Bianca Belair is next.
Okay. Well,
and we know Bianca Belair can mop up Carmella right now. We know that.
Do we see any of the mid-card titles for the men be defended? I got Big E versus Sami Zayn in the return match at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And I got Bobby Lashley versus Matt Riddle. And I got Matt Riddle winning that.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that for sure. Lashley, Riddle, yeah. Only because... No, well, Daniel Bryan said he was in the Royal Rumble. See, the wild card in this is Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental Championship because I really thought they were setting up for Daniel Bryan to be the Intercontinental Champion and him potentially losing to like a Big E or somebody else.
And see, that's the other part about the Big E thing. Daniel Bryan said that he wants to work with Big E. Do Daniel Bryan works with him as a face? Or as a heel.
Man, hey. Yeah. I'm pro heel Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you fucking
like,
man. Look,
all fucking day. Like, if he wanted to be Captain Planet again, I'm with it.
With that. Yeah. Like, hey.
Yo, if he wanted to be Captain Planet, yo, Captain Planet, Daniel Bryan is a fucking beast.
Hey, man. So we've pretty much set up our matches. And it might be a bit too much, but this is our Royal Rumble. So we got Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio for the Universal Championship. Mm-hmm. We have Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus for the WWE Championship. We got Big E versus Sami Zayn in the retirement match. We got Bobby Lashley versus Matt Riddle for the U.S. Championship. We have the Street Profits versus the Usos versus Buddy and Dominic Mysterio for the Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. We got the Hurt Business versus the New Day for the Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. And I guess that third match of the pay-per-view, I don't know. So it might be, I guess it would be like the rubber match at the pay-per-view or whatever. We got Asuka and Charlotte versus the Riot Squad, with the Riot Squad winning from Cam. Yeah. So that's a good one right there. That's if that happens, they're gonna cry and all that shit. Liv is gonna be like, I did it, and all that shit.
Right.
We have Sasha versus Bianca Belair for the women's championship. Did I miss one?
No, because the other one was just Royal Rumble predictions based around
right.
It.
So then for the Royal Rumble predictions, I'm sticking with my Keith Lee. He's still at the top of the Royal Rumble power standing, the power standings for me. Him winning the Royal Rumble and him picking, and here's where we're going to switch here.
Okay.
He wins the Royal Rumble. He's picking Roman Reigns. The fist pump, the fist pound at Survivor Series, buddy.
Yeah.
So I got Roman Reigns versus Keith Lee at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship. Who you got?
Man, right now, where we sit with everything that wrestling looks like right now, even though I was totally on board with Black Wrestle, first Black Royal Rumble winner ever.
December 27th. It can change next week.
It could. But you know what? I'm picking AJ
Styles. Last show of the year. This is the last show of the year. I just thought about that shit.
Wow, yeah, damn. Wow, yeah, sure enough. Yeah, it will be next year, like Friday. Shit. No, I'm picking AJ Styles, though. And I was and I was going to toss up between AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. But, AJ Styles won. Wait, has he won a Royal Rumble yet?
No. Shinsuke won it that year, and he picked AJ Styles.
That's right. That is right. So with that said, so I think just the ultimate make good for giving The Undertaker his official last match is that AJ Styles is rewarded with winning the Royal Rumble and getting another crack at the WWE Championship. Because literally, it don't matter if it's Drew, if it's Sheamus, or if it's The Miz. AJ Styles is going to show his ass at WrestleMania and win the title.
Yeah.
And that, I think, repositions Raw and puts shit back in its proper perspective. To be real, no matter what motherfuckers like at the Thunderdome, or the WWE Universe, no matter what the fuck y'all like, what makes sense right now is AJ Styles holding the WWE Championship with a 7'2 black man that wears a turtleneck and a chain like Nino Brown in New Jack City and stops him from getting any moves done on him on the outside of the ring. And you got to deal with that. And he ain't even unleashed a moveset yet. We don't even know how he about to start flooring motherfuckers. We don't even know that yet.
We haven't seen him clothesline nobody yet.
Nope. Ain't nobody got right crossed. Ain't nobody been big booted. Nobody's been slammed. Nothing.
Well, he did throw one of the niggas into the, like, he just dropped them into the damn announcing table.
Right. It's like, hey, boom. You know what I'm saying? Sit down. But no. He got to fuck somebody up. And AJ Styles is off the chain when he wins matches now. So literally, just for the repositioning of Raw, for a guy that it makes perfect sense for, even though, hey, listen, I was on the train of Big E or Keith Lee. I was on the train of them being the last two in the joint. I was on that train. But while we were talking quarantine MVPs, when the Thunderdome came back, AJ Styles started getting the fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, he's been getting the fuck off. And we expect it. But, yeah, man, sending off The Undertaker, you don't just land into obscurity. Winning the Royal Rumble, beating any of the three suspects that we got right now at the at WrestleMania. I got AJ Styles.
Okay. All right, man, before we get out of here, there was a picture. And I put it up in the Some Dude, we had so many groups, into the first Black Champ group. And it's different than, you know, a picture that was taken by everybody because it was superimposed. But, I mean, this is superimposed instead of everybody, you know, having their picture, you know, with their belts. But the champions right now, the Hurt Business, Bobby Lashley, Big E, R-Truth, the Street Profits, and dare I say led by the women's champion, Sasha Banks. And absolutely, and here's a text. Here's a text that Hood sent me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even respond to it yet. Said, man, Trey spoiled. We ain't never seen this in 35 operating territories back in the day. It's all mm-hmm. happening in the WWE. Man, that's blessed. Like, first of all, your thoughts on basically the titles being held by majority people of color. Because right now, as it stands, because look, I'm going to put Roman Reigns in this. As we said, as we said, Samoan, hey, we, y'all one of us. And he's married to a black woman too. So we're gonna put him here. So if you look at the belts on Raw and SmackDown, the only person of color off top that I could think of with the belt is Charlotte Flair on the main. On the main, yeah. Roman Reigns, person of color. Oh, Drew McIntyre. And you know what? I'll say Drew McIntyre is not a person of color.
Okay.
But he's Scottish, he ain't from here. So he ain't no person of color. He ain't from here.
Right. So he ain't no white American, is what you're saying.
Right. He ain't no white American. So when you look at it, Drew McIntyre, the tag team, her business, Bobby Lashley, R-Truth. Yeah, Charlotte Flair and Drew McIntyre are the only non-people of color with belts and on the main roster. Where they do that at?
Man.
Hey, bro, but wait, there's more. Because there's more. That's a little bit more to this. Because even if you look on NXT, one of the tag team title holders is English.
That's right.
Finn Balor ain't from here either.
Nope. Nope. It really is the universe for real now.
Ain't no Hulk Hogan here. Ain't no Randy Orton here. Ain't no Macho Man here. Ain't no Ric Flair. This is really like the white men are technically, the white men who are not from here ain't even winning. When you look at the down line, because only a couple of people that got belts. But the majority of the title holders in the WWE main roster are people of color. The floor is yours. Mm-hmm.
Man, if I was one of those people that tuned in and out of wrestling, like just throughout my life, like every 4 or 5 years I tune in, I would have swore that photo was Photoshop. I would have swore it was fucking Photoshop. Because no way they let that much melanin hold that much gold and silver. You know what I'm saying? And the company that Vince McMahon runs out of Connecticut. Like, there's no way I would have thought that. But, you know, on top of that, though, when I looked at that photo, I really sat and was like, and you know what? These men and women are truly some of the best in the game, period, right now. Like, I don't think there is a tag team better than Ford and Dawgs, Montez and Dawgs. I just don't. Like, they're on fucking fire, and they are exciting every single time you see them.
Dawgs just lost weight.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually inspired me. He's slender a little. That
turnbuckle splash getting faster. that 360 turnbuckle getting faster shit, ain't it?
That on Friday was like, hey man, you get on the main roster and start losing some weight. All right, man. Let me get some steps on my Apple Watch. Let me close some of these rings.
Absolutely. I mean, Sasha Banks. I mean, y'all know how we feel about Sasha Banks on this show specifically. So to see her get a belt, keep a belt, and start beating up specifically white women who always take her titles, like, it's amazing because Sasha Banks literally is one of the best wrestling women, like, period, right now. I don't think she should fall. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right, yes. Like, I don't think she should drop lower than top three as far as women, and I don't think you can drop her out of a top five as far as wrestlers, period, men and women.
She's definitely 1B in the WWE to me right now. It's her and Roman Reigns as well.
Yeah. Yo, I'm with you. Shit, the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business, hey, full disclosure, y'all know this, if you check out the show and you check the archives, I shit on this faction originally. It's like, what y'all gonna do with all the mid-card people y'all didn't fuck with in their prime? The middle-aged, mid-card black folks y'all didn't fuck with back then. But man, they saved Raw Summer. Not Drew McIntyre, not Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio and all that shit. The Hurt Business. The Hurt Business saved Raw Summer this year. And we need to start fucking acting like it. Also, I mean, R-Truth, listen, when we started this podcast, I hated R-Truth. Like, I was like, no, get fam the fuck out of here. We don't need this representing us. We don't need this bullshit that he on. I was that guy. And I apologize. I think in year two of this podcast, and here we are, three years into some change. And, you know, for R-Truth to be like, what, 51? Or about to be, you know what I'm saying?
He's like, the only wrestler.
Right, you know what I'm saying? And for the, you know, the 24/7 championship, you know, it's meant to entertain 24/7 and shit. You know what? He does that. He does that really well. And that's not the slightest in-ring ability, because he still get busy. But yeah, man, it's about time that the words and the rumblings match the actions. Because when you do hop on Twitter and when you do hop on these Facebook groups or whatever, they are talking about Sasha Banks. They are talking about the Street Profits. Everybody is surprised by the Hurt Business. And they got belts. They're winning matches. They're in main event situations. Like, this is the way it should be. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler don't need belts right now because the fucking Street Profits is way hotter than them. But what's fucked up is if this was 1994, that would not be the fucking case. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I mean, again, man, we were saying that we were in the best time for wrestling in 2018. And look where we are now. Like, it's remarkable, man. This is what will justify me being a fan at 50 years old and at 60, and why my daughter and my future children will also be wrestling fans once they come to the house and they see I got it on Mondays and Thursdays or whenever they do it, and when we go to pay-per-views and things like that. Because now I can explain it in a way I couldn't before, you know? Like, at first it was like, yo, I just like watching wrestling. Like, I didn't, as a kid, I don't give a fuck what color you are and how you're represented or not. I don't care. It wasn't until high school that I was like, man, why the black champ got to lose when The Rock lost? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then
we used to see Coco Beware.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, we used to see Ice Train. Right, shout out to Ice Train. But yeah, man, it's again, man, making black wrestling fans look like we're not totally fucking insane, man. Making it make sense for us. Thank you, Vince.
Yeah, man. You said it all. Like, this is something that's unprecedented. This is Trey get to see what I never saw.
Yes.
That right there, yes. Is itself. And when I put on, and shouts out to the WWE for inclusion, period.
Yeah.
Because we give heat to the Mysterio family, but that's another group of color. I mean, another group of people of color. We talk about the Samoan dynasty. There is, like, we see it in every bit, even referees now. Like, Teddy Long was the only black referee I saw for years.
Yep.
Now we got most. And even smaller shit like Leon Ruff. I think Leon Ruff is probably one of the more, if I had to pick inspiring story, it's like Leon Ruff. You look at Leon Ruff, Trey is bigger than Leon Ruff.
I would not doubt that. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Who came out being the North American champion? Leon Ruff. Yes. In pretty dope-ass matches. You know, I give him shit and call him Mexican Vampiro, and I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of him. But shit, right. Damian Priest is another one.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like, he's another one. We've just been – this has been year of the wrestler of color athlete. That's not even talking about Impact. Mm-hmm. That's not even – that's like the only operation that you could be like, all right, is AEW. And they got Brandi Rose as their chief digital officer. So, I mean, hey –
Right. Which is the real role, you know what I'm saying? Back to Mexican Vampiro, you know what? I also want to start calling him Latin Lenny Kravitz.
That too.
So, I was like, yo, he might have to be Vampiro Kravitz, man. We might change this whole gimmick to on this show. Vampiro Kravitz. Man.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say this, I know, especially with the black wrestling fan, I think we're more passionate than we are now, especially on the internet. We're more passionate than we are now because we see what can be done. Right. So I think this is going to become common. I honestly do. I think this, it has no choice but to be common too. So,
question for you. Because I don't know, but when you were talking, I literally thought of this. How wrong was ACH now?
I won't say that ACH was wrong.
Okay.
But he might have been the person who kicked all of this shit off.
Okay.
I won't say that he's wrong because I can't tell somebody how to feel about a t-shirt.
Right.
Like, I'll be specific. I can't tell ACH how to feel about a t-shirt. I can't, and Leo Rush too. I can't tell Leo how to feel about a specific situation that I wasn't there for. But I will say this. I think that their experiences and how open they were with their experiences is one of the reasons why we're seeing this. Now, maybe, because I'll say this, and this is even a rather, I'd rather see Leo Rush in Cedric Alexander's position.
Yeah.
I would. I would rather see that. He's a talker. He can go. Former champ, all that. I think he fits better in that. But if he's not there, Cedric don't get this rub.
Right. There you go.
ACH, I think, could have been a NXT Cruiserweight champion or world champion or North American champion. Maybe he's in the Leo Rush role. I mean, not Leo Rush, Leon, Leon Huff role. Maybe. So, but I think their experiences helped what we see right here.
Okay. I asked that question because even as we celebrate and we what a time and we do all of this, I think it is important to think about where we were just in the midst of, in the aftermath of Kofi winning the WWE Championship. And because you know that it was a little troubled water that was developing, and a lot of white people got called out for being racist as fuck in that process. And even though you're absolutely right on we can't tell people how to feel and how to react, you know, I was always on the fence with ACH because he seemed like he was taking his venom too far. But then it didn't help that Mark Henry was like, ah, but you bugging. And like, he really wasn't there for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it became a series of black OGs talking about him versus talking to him, in my perspective. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, so do you got to play the game in the system? And is he bugging or is he calling out some bullshit and y'all need to correct it? And here we are, fast forward 2020, because, I mean, even Leo Rush, hey, yo, they're talking about I got to carry bags, treat me like a boy. I got a family. Like, what the fuck is you talking about? And it's like, oh, is this paying dues or is you shitting the young black kid that think he's special? You know, it was those things. Sasha Banks, everybody talked about Sasha Banks and why she left. She was like, yo, I don't think I'm getting treated fairly. This is some bullshit. Like, why y'all fucking me over like this? Sentiments that I've echoed on this very show. And now here we are in the role that she's had her greatest wrestling year as far as the WWE is concerned. And I'm not talking matches, I'm just talking about success. So, I mean, I think about that and it's like, yeah, you know, that's not a distant memory for black fans and black wrestlers at all. But at the same time, it's like, I'm glad we are in this space. You know, finally affirmative action is working for black folks and not just white women. You dig what I'm saying? Like, that's
and you know what? And we did this on the show, but this is the last show of the year. So I think it's more than appropriate to say this again. Mm-hmm. To me, MVP is the MVP of 2020. And I don't think it's close. It's more than a wrestling thing. Cause to everything that you're saying, right? And we're not behind the scenes. We don't talk to people behind the scenes. There was really one thing that I heard behind the scenes that we had talked about here on the show about how black wrestlers, how they connect through other organizations, right? Mm-hmm. But it just seems to me all of that shit stopped when MVP got there.
Yeah.
And not only that, he got there at quite possibly the worst time, the pandemic.
Yeah.
If it was hard, like it's hard to watch some of them pandemic matches, them early pandemic matches, how good they might have been. It's hard to watch them because you don't hear shit. You don't see nothing. It is hard to watch them. But look what came out of that. And look what came out of it for the black wrestler. And to me, MVP kind of was the start. Man, he was the start of that. And it just seems like to me, a lot of that stuff stopped when MVP started getting on the screen more. And then he started grabbing on the wrestlers. Then you start seeing them with Bobby Lashley and the whole thing with Lana. Then you see Cedric Benjamin just pop up out of nowhere. Like, where the fuck has he been? Like, he got signed like 2 years ago, I think it was. I think it was 2017, 2018. And then he hurt his shoulder. Then next time you see him on TV is the Brock Lesnar thing. Then you don't see him on TV again. And he's talking better too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't want to hear Cedric Benjamin. So you got Cedric Benjamin, you got Bobby Lashley, and then you got him looking at Cedric Alexander and Ricochet like, yo, y'all need to come over. And Prime comes. He has a nickname, fam. He's Prime Alexander. But starts more often. I mean, we could talk about we talk about 2020. Things changed, in my opinion, when MVP got on the screen. And now when I look at the Hurt Business, I look at the Black Four Horsemen. That's our Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
They put people in suits this year, G. Suits. Like how Ric Flair and them would be like, all right, we got to whoop some niggas' ass in this goddamn Armani suit, fam. Come on, let's whoop their ass. Yeah, all right, back.
Absolutely.
To me, when it comes to all of this, what we're seeing with Black excellence, it starts in 2020. Talking about 2020. It starts with MVP. So I know we gave him his flowers before. I'm giving him his flowers again because when we look at this picture, it definitely didn't start off like this.
Right.
But in 2020, it's going to end with the first time in my history of watching wrestling, that the majority of the champions in a operation that I watch frequently are people of color. And yes, yeah. Roman, you with us too. We ain't claiming you to be black, but you got a sister as a wife. You're the Robin Thicke of the group. Would you're just darker.
Yeah.
You're just you're our Robin Thicke. Just darker. You're gonna be on the cover of Ebony magazine with your wife, fam. They saved Ebony.
Right. Hey, listen, man. Roman Reigns said, "I'm gonna whoop your ass," and then it's all love. You ain't never heard nobody not black say that before. So hey, that, man. Like, yo. So yeah, man. But no, hey, you know what? Great point on MVP, man. I can't. Yeah, it can't be refuted. Like, it can be. Wow. Yeah, man. Wow. MVP.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Go start this podcast like we ended it. I mean, we're gonna end this podcast like we started. Excuse me. Rest in peace, Luke Harper, Brody Lee. Jonathan Huber, however you know him by, rest in peace to that man. 1979 to 2020 is wild to say, but rest in peace to his family. We send shouts out to the WWE Universe, the AEW fans, all of the wrestlers who was touched by him, all of the fans who was touched by him. Check on your body, check on your peoples, yeah, and be safe out there. That's all I got.
Absolutely. 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 All those sentiments echo, as well as do not waste your time in any facet of the world, whether it's career, whether it's family, if it's anything that's pulling on you to do because you don't have a measurement of time and you don't know what's going to happen each day, and you don't know how things will move you in a certain direction. Act. Be about that action. You know what I'm saying? It's important. And as always, if you are ever trying to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp Bang. We are out.
All right, guys, so check this out. Have you ever heard of Goldbelly? Okay, so it's this amazing site where you can order the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the country, and they will ship it straight to your door. That's right, these guys will ship you Philly cheesesteaks from Jim's or Pat's in Philly, Buffalo wings from the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, and even Kansas City's most legendary barbecue. So if you're looking to host an epic Super Bowl party, go to goldbelly.com and get free shipping and 20% off your first order with promo code GAMEDAY.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect Valentine's gift. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So, if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.